somebody's prayers to win. Last Sunday, and of course today, Audrey's going to be helping me preach. Oh, boy, give them a chance. And it's going to take them out. We'll encourage you about Thursday and Friday and Sunday and Tuesday. These are important things. Thursday and Friday, there'll be untold hundreds of people that pass by right out here. And they're going to get to see the story. In a simple manger out there. Live animals and a lot of children rolling around trying to pet the animals. And it's going to be a wonderful sight. And we're going to get the opportunity to share the gospel with our lives, with our bodies, with us being here, with the joy of the Lord. 6:30 to 8:30, Thursday, Friday night. Questions asked me, am I needed there? Yes. Everybody that is needed. Because see, when I'm talking one family over here, and three more families walk up, we can't talk to everybody at the same time. I try to get around to it. Dan tries to get around. Rick, we can't get around to everybody. We need people that will be in the scene, 30-minute slots, place you can sign up in the back, to help with refreshments, keep the luminaries going. But we just need you to be here. This is a joyful celebration. I can honestly say that all three of my children growing up got more excited about the live nativity scene, doing that, than they did anything else in the whole Advent season. It's a wonderful picture of the simplicity of it. Now, last Sunday, we began our celebration of Advent. Advent means what? Coming. The first coming of Jesus. And we lighted the first candle, which is a candle of prophecy. We saw all those prophecies. I hope you went back and read some of them. In Micah, in the Psalms, the Gospel of Isaiah, in Isaiah 52 and 53, especially. We read to you the Gospel of Genesis, the coming Lord, over and over and over again. All the books of the Old Testament pointing to his coming. That he's coming. This Messiah is coming. And so we celebrated that last week. Today, we light our second candle of Advent. It's the angel's candle. And today's message is about the angels. We're going to let the angels speak to us today. We're going to read a number of passages of Scripture. Brother Dan's going to help me with that today. But go ahead and put our first point up there. Now, when you ask the question, who is Jesus? Which is what we're asking. What is what our society is asking today. Who is this Jesus? The real Jesus. Who is he? Well, he is a person important enough to have his birth announcement done by angels. That's pretty important, isn't it? That they can come and read our first scripture.
Chapter 1, verses 11 through 19. Zechariah was in the sanctuary when an angel of the Lord appeared. standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was overwhelmed with fear. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice with you at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or hard liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will persuade many Israelites to turn to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah, the prophet of old. He will precede the coming of the Lord, preparing the people for his arrival. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will change disobedient minds to accept godly wisdom." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news."
Very powerful message, isn't it? This one, who is Jesus, he would even have a forerunner who would prepare the people for his arrival. And here's John the Baptizer, Zechariah's dad, who went in and didn't believe. And isn't it interesting? I have laryngitis today. And what was the thing that Zechariah, because of his unbelief, he couldn't do? Until the baby was born, he couldn't speak. That's right. You can't question the angel. But here's the angel announcing to Zechariah, this child that's going to come, he's going to be the forerunner in the spirit of Elijah, the great prophet, the prophet of all prophets. In the Old Testament, and John the Baptist did come, and he did prepare the way for Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Are you preparing the way for Jesus into other people's lives? Let's read our next passage.
Luke 1, 26-38 says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be frightened, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'How can I have a baby? I am a virgin.' The angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' Mary responded, 'I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true.' And then the angel left."
Every Jewish girl up to that point had grown up with the thought, "Will I be the mother of the Messiah?" Imagine that. And this young girl who has the angel come and announce to her that the He's willing to come into people's lives today. He's come into many of your lives. But are you tying his hands in this Christmas season, saying, Lord, there's some things that I just don't believe you can do? Let's read our next passage.
Now, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. And as he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus.
Who is Jesus? He's the one who would forgive people of their sins. He's the one who would put Humpty Dumpty back together again. He's the one who would take a broken life, a life on the ash heap of this world's destruction, and put it back together. He would give you new life. He would give you a do-over, an eternal do-over. Say, I forgive you of all the past if you let me come into your life and let me be Emmanuel, God with you and me. God with us. What a novel concept. We talked about all the other world religions and cults last week as we asked the question, who is Jesus? For all of them, they have their God, and God's as distant, as away from the people. The God we serve came to us. He is God with us. Emmanuel. Name.
To the shepherds, she gave birth to her first child, a son. He wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth.
Here's Jesus. He is the Savior. What does his name mean? Yeshua. What does it mean? Yeshua. God saves. He is the Savior. He comes and saves his people. And here's the angel. Imagine the angel announcing to the shepherds these little. There's nobody lower on the totem pole in their society. And yet, the announcement is to them. There's nobody too far gone to need the announcement. What if in the city of Savannah today, the announcement truly got through to people? That God.
Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's how I memorized it when I was just a little kid. Peace. He's the only source of real peace. The website that I went on last week, of the guy who couldn't make up his mind whether or not he was an agnostic or an atheist, which, by the way, is being a little bit disingenuous. You can't be an atheist and an agnostic, too. It's one or the other. Because if you doubt, you're an atheist, really. He believes there's no God. That not agnostic doubts, but be that as it may, he was back and forth, and his theme in one article that he wrote was about peace. He was talking about Christmas and all the feel good of Christmas and peace to the world. I read through his article. He had high sounding statements. And I got to the end, and he had no source of peace. I kept looking, from where would he extract this item that the UN spends so much time talking about, that world leaders expound forever about. He had no source. Because you see, there's only one source of real peace. To be able to give it, you have to have it to give. He not only has it, but he can give it away and make sure that it remains forever. At last, the story of Christmas is all about peace in one's heart, bringing to an end the war against God, where a person invites Jesus into their heart to reign and to rule, and to bring peace. To be able to put your head on the pillow at night and know, no matter what happens, I belong to Jesus. That's the message those angels were given to the shepherds.
After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to try to kill the child." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's dream. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt."
And here's Joseph, hearing from God through an angel. Ask you today, how important is it that you hear from God? How important is it to your family that you can hear the voice? can it be? The scripture says, imagine I'm thinking about it. The scripture says that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. But he would come out of Egypt. And that he would be called a Nazarene. How could all three of those be true? Look what happened. Born in Bethlehem. Joseph listens to the angel, makes the announcement, and he goes down to Egypt. And at the appropriate time, Dane.
When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and told him, get up and take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph returned immediately to Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he had learned that the new ruler was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid. Then another dream, he was warned to go to Galilee. So they went and they lived in a town called Nazareth. This, fulfilling what was spoken by the prophets concerning the Messiah, he will be called a Nazarene.
Number three, born in Bethlehem. Come up out of Egypt. Grew up in Nazareth. You see, in all of this, we see the two characteristics of Jesus. He was all God and all man at the same time. Son of God and real man. Who went through everything that you and I go through every day. This is another one of the messages of Christmas. We're not giving praise and honor and glory to someone who doesn't even know us. No! He was Emmanuel! God with us! He was a real man. He was tempted in all points like as we, not without sin, not one time. He understands your problems. He understands what you're going through right now. And he is here, and he is not silent. He's speaking. Who is Jesus? Well, the angels have given us 10 statements about him today. Who is he to you? What evidence is there of his identity in your life and in your celebration of his first coming? Will you allow his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come and to fill you afresh and anew with the fire of his first coming and the joy and expectation of his second coming? You see, that's why we who live in this time sandwiched between his two comings have such great confidence. We already know what he has done through his death, burial, and resurrection. He has given to us his Holy Spirit and the gift